You're listening to West Virginia Morning. I'm John Cantese. Senators put to a final vote a bill that gets rid of permitting and safety training requirements to carry a concealed weapon in the state. The bill has already been approved by the House of Delegates, but after some changes in the upper chamber, as Ashton Mara reports, it will return to the House before it heads to the governor's desk.
As approved by the state Senate, House Bill 4145 removes the permit and safety requirements for West Virginians over the age of 21. Anyone between the ages of 18 and 20 would be allowed to go through a provisional permitting process, much like the one currently in place. That process requires a safety course and, under this bill, live fire training. The bill keeps the current permitting process in place so West Virginians can still take advantage of the reciprocity agreements the state has to carry concealed in other states. Charles Trump is the Senate Judiciary Chair.
I know that at least with a few of our members, this bill is controversial. And I think I have to say at this point that I think it should not be. The gentleman from Kanawha made the observation in our committee consideration of this legislation last week that if you think about it, what we have now in West Virginia is a situation where this is legal. This is not.
Senator Trump pulled his suit jacket away from his waist and then covered it once again, implying to members this is what it's like for West Virginians who want to carry a concealed weapon in a holster.
Legal, illegal. It's a policy question, and I support it. The expansion of this right to bear arms is guaranteed to all of us in our Constitution.
During Monday's floor session, Trump explained the provisions of the bill that he says he fully supports, including newly created felony offenses. Those include felony charges for anyone caught carrying concealed who's prohibited under state law from doing so, like convicted criminals. It increases penalties for someone who uses a weapon while committing another crime. Senator Herb Snyder, who voted against the bill, says while he supports the increased penalties, the bill does not address several other gun crimes, like brandishing or manslaughter.
The responsibility that comes with the action of this legislature is now handed in every one of the citizens of West Virginia. And I remind everyone how grave that responsibility is.
Senator Corey Palumbo says it's law enforcement and the safety of the general public he worries about when voting on the legislation.
Last year when this bill came up, the proponents of it said, well, the Sheriff's Association just opposes this because they want a bunch of money. Well, this year they agreed to just get rid of the fee entirely. And I thought that was a great act of compromise. But that was rejected. I mean, the sheriffs are still going to get their money if we pass this bill because people will still get the permits. But they still almost uniformly oppose this bill because of the public safety concerns. So I'm going to stand here today and I'm going to stick with our law enforcement who really do not like this bill. I'm going to stick with the majority of my constituents who do not like this bill. I'm going to stick with public safety.
Senator Kent Leonhardt says the bill actually increases the safety of West Virginians by allowing responsible gun owners to carry with fewer restrictions. After spending 21 years in the military, specializing in Middle East relations, Leonhardt says the bill does more than just protect West Virginians from the home invasions other lawmakers have used as examples in support of the bill.
Ladies and gentlemen, ISIS is here in the United States, imported through open borders and homegrown radicalism. Armed citizenry and constitutional carry will help deter terrorism in West Virginia.
Senators voted 24-9 to approve the legislation. Members of the House will have to consider some Senate-approved changes, including the increased felony charges and the removal of a tax credit for people who continue to use the permitting process. Delegates could vote on those changes as soon as Tuesday. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
Delegates put a controversial measure of their own to vote yesterday, as well as approving a bill that would allow West Virginia University Institute of Technology to move from its current location in Montgomery. Rob Engel reports.
House Bill 4310 would change state code to allow WVU Tech to move its headquarters from Montgomery to Beckley, less than 50 miles away into neighboring Raleigh County. But this short move has caused big debate about whether or not the town of Montgomery could sustain itself after losing the university. In September of last year, the West Virginia University's Board of Governors voted unanimously in support of the move, saying that the Montgomery campus was no longer financially viable and the move to Beckley was the only option to salvage the shrinking program. But today's decision was much more divisive, as delegates from both sides of the aisle rose in opposition and support of the bill. Delegate Mick Bates represents Raleigh County, which would benefit from the move.
This is not about Fayette County. It's not about Raleigh County or Kanawha or even Mercer. It's about students, present and future. This is not about any county or any institution of higher education. It's about allowing WVU Tech to survive and to place it in a position to thrive.
Montgomery is a community of about 1,700. Delegate David Perry represents the district in Fayette County and says the decline of WVU Tech is due to improper funding and lack of support from the university's administration.
So is this a move to create a two-state institution in the state of West Virginia with so many small institutions we have that serve students across this state? Possibly so. I can't say. But I can tell you there is an economic impact to Montgomery, there's an economic impact to the Upper Kanawha Valley, and there's an impact to the students that West Virginia Tech serves, and the ability to increase those number of students has been hampered and hindered by the instability created by WVU and the press over the last few years.
The House passed the bill by a vote of 67-32. It now moves to the Senate. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Rob Engel in Charleston.
You're listening to West Virginia Morning at 7:50. Today we will have a chance of rain. There will be a chance of snow and sleet possible in the higher elevations. Highs will be in the 40s and in the 50s today. Tonight, the chance of rain will continue with some chance of freezing rain in some areas. Lows will be in the 30s and in the 40s tonight.
Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com.
Noam Chomsky, the renowned American linguist, philosopher, and political activist, will address Concord University this afternoon. Roxy Todd has more.
This afternoon, one of the world's leading intellectual thinkers will be giving a public lecture at Concord University. Chomsky will discuss poverty and inequality. He won't physically be in Athens, West Virginia, though. He'll be speaking via a webcam from the campus of the renowned research university, MIT. Chomsky's ideas and scholarship are known the world over. He's been described as one of the most widely quoted, most widely cited, and one of the most influential intellectuals of our time. The event is sponsored by Concord's Department of Sociology and the Division of Social Sciences. There is no admission charge, and the general public is invited to attend. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Roxy Todd.
The House of Delegates is just beginning its work on a bill that would ban one of the nation's most commonly used second trimester abortion methods. As approved in the Senate, Senate Bill 10 would ban what are commonly referred to as dismemberment abortions. That ban is only when the abortion is elective, not in cases of medical emergencies. As Liz McCormick reports, discussion over the bill began with a public hearing Monday morning.
Senate Bill 10 would ban what are medically known as dilation and evacuation abortions in West Virginia. While physicians say D&E abortions are common across the country, testimonies given before the state Senate said those abortions are actually rare in West Virginia. Physicians also testified it is one of the safest abortion options. But during a public hearing on the bill Monday morning, five people spoke in favor of banning the practice, calling the technique gruesome. Senate Bill 10 requires doctors performing these types of abortions euthanize the fetus before dismemberment. Karen Cross is the political director for National Right to Life and supports the bill.
There are at least 12 studies which have been done by the abortion industry that show maternal safety is not compromised as a result of providing a feticidal agent prior to abortion. Dismemberment of a live, fully formed baby in the second trimester may be the standard of care for abortionists. However, for regular medical practice, many OB-GYNs report that there is no medical emergency that requires dismembering a living baby.
But Sharon Lewis, executive director for the Women's Health Center of West Virginia, says the bill interferes with the patient-doctor relationship.
It is a fact that restricting access to safe abortion care leads desperate women to risk death to end an unwanted pregnancy. I believe that it would be a beautiful thing if all of the so-called right-to-life advocates would expend the energy that they're currently placing on restricting abortion on improving the lives of the abused child, the hungry child, the neglected child, or the orphan child.
Delegate Joe Ellington is the House's Health Committee Chair, and he's also a practicing OBGYN.
There's pros and cons to both sides of it. One part is terminating a fetus that's alive before it is extracted by the procedure that the sponsors are trying to eliminate. It does affect the standard of care that's currently in place with the medical profession. From an obstetrician standpoint, I'm going to have to balance that with what the opponents are willing to do.
Members of the House Health Committee could take up Senate Bill 10 as soon as today. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Charleston.
The West Virginia Senate is set to vote on a bigger tobacco hikes than Governor Earl Ray Tomlin has proposed. The Republican-led chamber's vote is slated for today. Tomlin's plan would have raised the cigarette tax by 45 cents to a dollar, raised a tax on other tobacco products, and taxed e-cigarettes. It would have yielded $78 million additionally and $18.9 million to help balance the 2016 budget. The Senate committee approved a Democratic amendment to increase the cigarette tax by further than a dollar to $1.55 and dedicate the money to state employee and retiree health plans. It would bring in about $115 million more annually, not just the $78 million. Senators said the change would aid health plans beyond 2017, and the Republican-led House has been hesitant to raise taxes. And the town recorder of Marmette has become the city's interim mayor after a 3-judge panel removed the former mayor from office. In accordance with the current city ordinance, Tammy Kersey will finish the rest of Bill Pauley's term in office. The panel removed Pauley from office after Pauley signed a conciliation agreement in September, saying that he knowingly violated city election laws by encouraging voters from outside of town to vote and providing them with a list of candidates to vote for. The city council has not commented on the matter. Robert Wells, the person who filed the ethics complaint against Pauley, says that the city council is considering passing an ordinance that would allow them to name a different interim mayor. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all of the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. And you can send us your comments to feedback@wvpublic.org. Make sure you follow us on Twitter @WVPublicNews and find us on Facebook. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. And I'm John Cantese. Have a good morning.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the Charleston Ballet, presenting The Hunchback of Notre Dame on March 4th and 5th at the Civic Center Theater. Details at thecharlestonballet.com.